steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here's your host, Lance Meadow.
So the final score, 31-13 in favor of the Cincinnati Bengals. The Giants get a late touchdown, but a little too late in terms of how this performance played out today. So glad you could join us on our Giants.com interactive game day post-game extra show. We will be taking your phone calls throughout the course of the next hour, but we are awaiting Tom Coughlin and some of the players before we take your phone calls. So feel free to give us a call. In the meantime, hang tight on the lines, and we will be getting some fan reaction throughout the course of the afternoon here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. You could also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can interact and follow me at Lance Meadow, last name M-E-D-O-W. So where to begin with this game? It was not pretty for the Giants. The Bengals wasted no time setting the tone and really setting the tempo of this contest. The Giants won the coin toss, deferred, so the Bengals started off the game with the football. They took full advantage. They went down the field. They got to the Cincinnati 44, and that's when things started to fall apart for the Giants. Corey Webster, miscommunication, Giants defenders all over the place. Nobody, though, in the vicinity of A.J. Green. A.J. Green, 56-yard hookup with Andy Dalton for an early touchdown. 7-0 in the blink of an eye. Then the Giants go 3-and-out, which was a big issue against the Steelers and somewhat against the Cowboys. But here's what was critical about this 3-and-out. A penalty, a mental mistake. They were going to punt it on 4th-and-5, but it was a penalty. And the penalty ultimately gave the Bengals another opportunity to potentially return. They forced the Giants to punt again. So what happens on this punt? Adam Jones returns it 68 yards. So that takes the Bengals all the way to the Giants 11. And a couple of plays later, Dalton hooks up with Andrew Hawkins, who made a nice one-handed grab. Hosley went for the football, did not go for the body of the player. So that was another touchdown. Just like that, it's 14-0. And it was pretty much one issue after another for the Giants. It just got progressively worse. So on the very next kickoff, Wilson muffs the catch, luckily recovers it. Just goes to show you the special team issues were right back at the forefront. And on this possession, the Giants were aided by a personal foul for 15 yards. After Dominic Hicks had made a catch for 8, and by the way, they lose Hicks for the rest of the game due to an ankle injury. Once again, the bye could not have come at a better time, given the injuries that are mounting and the injuries now that they suffered in this contest. So they're forced to punt again, and finally something goes right for the Giants. They get a special teams play, game changer perhaps. Blackburn, a tough hit. Will Hill recovers it. He just came back from his 4-game suspension. Remember, was a very key player on special teams right before his suspension. So it makes his presence immediately felt. So they get the ball back at the Cincinnati 27. So you're thinking, okay, it's a 14-0 game. Perhaps this is exactly what the doctor ordered. You get on the board here in the end zone. You cut the deficit in half. Who knows where you go from there? One problem. Giants have issues scoring when they get in the red zone. And they get all the way to the Cincy 12. They got a first down. Quick pass to Nix for 3 yards. Sets up 2nd-and-7. At the Cincinnati 9, they run with Bradshaw for 3. So they get a 3rd-and-4 at the Cincinnati 6. The positive in all this is it's a manageable 3rd down. Their issues on 3rd down the last 2 weeks, in which they were 5-for-25, was that they could not get in a 3rd-and-manageable. There were a lot of long situations. Today, that wasn't the issue. They got to those 3rd-and-manageables. Very few opportunities, but they were manageable. But things just completely fell apart. And this was a perfect example here. Pressure on Eli Manning, so he has to get rid of the football immediately. He dumps it off to Bradshaw. Bradshaw has two players in his vicinity, so all he picks up is 1 yard, and they're forced to settle for the Lawrence Tynes 23-yard field goal. So the Bengals get the football back, and this is where you knew Cincy now all of a sudden is saying to themselves, they've got all the momentum, they have all the confidence. Because the Bengals march down the field, they get to the Giants 30 on a 3rd and 2. They go a short pass to Hawkins, this time Hosley and Amukamara, well-disciplined, played their gaps well, played their assignments. Hawkins loses a yard, so it's a 4th and 2 at the Giants 30. Most teams would be content with settling for 3 points. No, the Bengals are feeling so good about how they have dominated this game thus far. And by the way, this is the very start of the second quarter, so it's still early. So they go for it. They get an incompletion to Gresham. But the point I'm making here is teams are not fearing the Giants anymore. Earlier in the season, teams would fear the Giants. They'd fear the offense. They'd fear the defense. Now the whole league is viewing this team a lot differently. And can you blame them, given the level of production that has been showcased the last few weeks? We're talking about a team that went from a top five offense, big playmakers. Deficits made no difference to them come the fourth quarter, because you knew they had the ability to make the big plays. They had some semblance of a running game. They protected Eli Manning. Their defense was getting turnovers. The pressure had been up and down on the defensive side, so that's not a big surprise that it was non-existent today. Can't say that's a huge development, because let's be honest, earlier in the season, everybody was asking, where's OCU Manure? Where's Justin Tuck? And where's JPP? Then all of a sudden, they had a cluster of games where the pressure packages were evident. They were getting to the quarterback. The turnovers then, in turn, started to follow. But the pass attack, in terms of the pressure packages, has been there for a little bit, and then it has disappeared. So that I can't say is a huge surprise. What is surprising is the missed tackles, the missed assignments, and the mental lapses. That's a surprise. You talk about that in week 1 and week 2, fine. You talk about that in week 10, week 11, that's when you have an issue. And I thought that when Chris Canty came back, that could have been the turning point for this Giants defense. Similar to when OC returned and how that really gave them a lift. But they can't seem to stop the run consistently still. And Canty's arrival hasn't necessarily benefited the pressure attack thus far, because the sacks are not piling up. Bengals got the sacks today because their inside pressure was exquisite, just as it has been all season. Geno Atkins, their top defensive tackle, who came in with 7 sacks, just picked up where he left off. And he didn't have a sack today, but his mere presence opened up the door for other opportunities. Gathers had 2 sacks. He had a presence from Wallace Gilberry. I mean, these are players that weren't even making a name for themselves in weeks prior. And Dunlap, who's been having a down year, had 1.5 sacks. So it was his coming out party. And as a result of the pressure, that helped out a Bengals secondary that was middle of the pack heading into this game. A lot of veteran presence, but not big game-changing playmakers. But they were aided so much because of the Cincinnati front 7. All right, Tom Coughlin's at the podium. We'll hear from him, and then we'll talk a little bit more about this game and take your phone calls. Let's hear from the coach.
We necessarily played like that in the very beginning. I think in the second half, the combination of I thought maybe our defense was playing a little bit better. Our offense appeared to be going to play a little bit better, and then we just turned it over to them. I think the 4 turnovers to their 1, and just the fashion with which they took place was almost unbelievable. I just told the team we certainly got into this mess together, and we're going to have to find a way to get out of it together. I don't have anything that I can really say that I was pleased with. Certainly it starts with me. I'm not pleased with the way that that I prepared them, and certainly the way that they played.
What's your level of concern with Eli?
I still believe that Eli will bounce back, and he will play the way that he has played at a championship level. I certainly don't quite understand where we are and why. There are contributing factors, I think, a little bit in terms of what we're doing. We've had some miscommunication in the last couple of games, not as much today with the quarterback and receivers. We just, we had very few plays that were down the field, and then when we did go down the field, we had an opportunity to score there with one, and it didn't happen. So I think it's a combination of things, and certainly we need to play better at all those positions.
Tom, is there anything physically holding you like that?
No.
It was suggested on TV this morning that getting tired on whatever that might be. Is there?
I certainly would ask him about that, but I've asked him about that. Oh, probably over the last couple of weeks, I've asked him how he feels, and he always responds he feels good.
What was the thought behind the turnover?
Well, I think there was a number of reasons. I really thought that I wanted the ball in the second half to start the second half. There was quite a differential between the points that we had scored in the second half and the points that they had scored in the second half. I also wanted the wind. I thought we'd kick the ball out, which we didn't do. But I thought that if you look at the numbers, with the exception of the Broncos game, they hadn't really been much of a second-half team scoring-wise. And so I thought that would be an advantage for us. I'll stick with what I have planned, and I've always done it that way. And, hopefully with some rest and getting away a little bit, they'll be a little bit more fresh when they come back. No, I wouldn't even reference that. Obviously I fully expected to win today and to be 7-3 and have a much better approach to the bye week. It didn't happen, so we have to be man enough to understand that, hey, there's nobody to blame but ourselves. But I'm concerned with the way we've played. It's not the second half of the schedule or anything of that nature. It's how we played in the last, particularly the last couple of weeks. And then and going forward, that's certainly going to have to change if we're going to have any chance. I thought that by winning today, we would be able to put ourselves in a better position, obviously, within our division in terms of we have the bye and the other people in our division will be playing. So I just thought it would be a very good position for us to be in. It didn't happen, so we'll have to deal with it when we get back. He was under duress a lot today. I think he got hit, four sacks and another seven or eight hits on the quarterback today. And the protection was not what you would want. It's a combination again. I think there were times when perhaps the protection was good and we were holding the ball, it seemed like, a little bit longer. Whether or not there was people open or whatever the reason was, I'm not going to speculate right now until I see the tape. But, for whatever reason, It's a lot like the situation that took place with the punt. We punt it long and out of bounds. We have a guilty party, a false start. We bring the ball back, punt it to him down the middle of the field, and he runs it back to the 12-yard line. That was the way, the way in which our game started. We had a mistake in a coverage. They got an easy touchdown. Well, it's not the first time they got an easy touchdown. They got an easy touchdown starting off against Washington, for example. So we figured we'd battle back. Then the punt return put us in a bad stead. So we were climbing uphill most of the day. I honestly thought that, if we could get that thing to 17-10, we would have an excellent shot. And we end up kicking field goal there instead of being able to score a touchdown, and that hurt.
The fact that you, make those throws, though, he's gotten away from that, putting the ball up, pick the sack, throw away.
I'm sure he's, there's no question, I'm sure he's trying to do, everything in his power to right things. If you listen to him in terms of the way he talks to his teammates, he talks exactly that way. It's, we have a good team. We've done things very, very well here we've got to snap out of whatever's going on and go right back and play the way we're capable of playing. So you hear him talk about like that, and I'm sure he figures it's on his shoulders to spearhead that move. But it just didn't happen. And I give them credit, too. I mean, there's a team that's lost four games in a row that got some momentum early based on the way we played. And you couldn't be in a better situation if you're trying to find confidence than the way the game started for them.
You had quite a few emotional games in a row, divisional games, Pittsburgh last week, narrow loss. Do you think this team is a little bit, I won't say spent, but...
I can't go there. I wouldn't say anything like that. I mean, I think that they will benefit from the bye. I'll go that far. Okay.
That's New York Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. John Schmelk, Bob Papa here in the Giants locker room. Obviously a very disappointing loss for the New York football Giants heading into their bye week now at 6-4 rather than 7-3. Pretty quiet in here so far. No one has really went here to talk to the media quite yet, but we'll hold it here. We'll get a couple guys before we send it back to New York, and they take it the rest of the way. Obviously, a very disappointing game on all sides of the ball for the New York football Giants on defense, offense, special teams, every which way. Just not a good performance, and the Giants will try to rebound next week as John Schmelk and Bob Papa talk to you live from Cincinnati in the locker room, and Bob Papa standing by with the Giants quarterback.
Well, win, lose, or draw, we're with Eli Manning, and it's brought to you by Toyota, the official vehicle of the Giants. Just talk a little bit about the frustration of not able to sustain anything really today.
Yeah, I got to give credit to them. They played well. They had a good plan for us, but we couldn't get much going. And when we got down there, had to settle for field goals again a couple times. And I was in the second half. Just had three turnovers. Really hurt us. And gave them points, and after that it was just hard. We had a long way to catch up. So we got a bye week. We got to fix some things. We got to get better. We got to start executing better on offense.
Eli, are you surprised at this offense was so fluid just a couple of weeks ago, and it seemed like you could take whatever you wanted, especially in the passing game, and now it seems as if the other team has 15 defenders in coverage.
They did a good job, and teams are coming in and playing us a little differently than in our preparation, and so we got to learn how to attack that. We got to find things and execute better versus those coverages, especially in the passing game. But we're just putting ourselves in tough situations, and not executing on certain plays that are putting us in some third and longs, and hard to convert a lot of those.
Does this team, do you think, need a bye just for a mental breather? This was the 10th game. It's the last week of the bye that they have.
Right, yeah, obviously 10 games. That's a lot of games in a row. And so it would be good to get a little break and everybody rest up our bodies, rest up our minds a little bit, hopefully get healthy, and then come back saying, hey, we got six games to finish the season, and it's going to come down to those six games. How do we deal with everything that's happened, good or bad, is behind us, and now it's going to come down to those six games. Can we have a winning record in those games and finish the season strong and get into the playoffs?
Are you frustrated?
I can't get frustrated. Disappointed. And we've had great success in with our offense over the years. But it's not to say there weren't bad games. There weren't times when we were not playing our best, and we've overcome those circumstances. We got to do the same here. So it's not a time to start doubting yourself or doubting this offense. We know we have talent. We just got to start playing a little bit better.
All right, thanks, Eli.
Thanks a lot.
All right, let's send it over to John Schmelk at JPP's locker.
Out physical by them.
I don't know. I really don't know. All I can say is, we got our bye week, come back strong the next week, and, get rolling again.
You have the bye week now, Jason. You can do a little self-scout. How do you think you guys can improve when you look at yourselves on tape here, maybe switch some things up?
I'm pretty sure our coach is going to, look at the tape, and even us as us players, we're going to look at the tape too and see what we got to do correctly. We can't be on a losing streak, man. It doesn't feel good at all, and we just got to come back and come harder. Like I said, in the beginning of the season, every team is going to play us. Cincinnati had nothing to lose. They came out and you know, they looked at it like it was a 6-3 team, you know, and we just can't play like that.
One thing your defense has been doing extremely well is forcing turnovers. Didn't do that quite so well today. How do you get back to that?
In the ball game, you know, in every ball game you got to have turnovers, and you know, we didn't have one turnover today. I mean, actually, we did, but it was a special team. You know, all that, it's all three phases that worked together, and we didn't do that today, and we paid the price.
That's Jason Pierre-Paul over to the locker room of Victor Cruz and Bob Papa.
We expect results, and it's a little frustrating, obviously, as a competitor and as an athlete and as a teammate, but we just got to understand that it's part of the game. Everything's not going to work all the time, and we just got to be able to prepare for our next ball game.
Early on, they didn't target you a whole lot. I think it was one header in the first half. What was the coverage? Or?
Couldn't tell you.
Was it frustrating for you?
No, I just got to keep plugging away. I understand that I'm going to get my opportunities whenever they come. I just keep playing football.
Are they playing you the way most teams have been playing you lately?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Leon Hall was on you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you think the fact that this kind of happened last year and then the end result was good, do you think it's something that the team is maybe falling back on as a crutch?
I have no idea. That's not something we talk about. It's not something we're focused on, losing games throughout the middle of the season. And it's not something that, you know, that we're focused on as a crutch.
Let's send it to the locker of Corey Webster.
We don't want to fall back and try to, you know, put so much pressure on the back against the wall. Now we don't need that kind of energy. We want positive energy going forward. Hopefully, we can get better every game and do the same thing with these six games to come.
What did you see out of AJ Green today?
We gave a one to him up a busted coverage, 56 yards. So, well, can't do that, you know. You want to get rid of, you're playing against a good team already, a good receiver already. We don't need to give him anything. You know, we want him to just earn it. And good receiver, but can't give him nothing.
Corey, last 10 quarters, your team hasn't played up to its capabilities. If you want to call it a slump, you can call it a slump, I guess. Why haven't you been able to play well these last 2.5 games?
I had that answer, I'd be great, you know what I mean, if I could tell everybody why. But I don't know why, but I know we got to fight our way out of it. We got to stick together, moving forward. Nobody's pointing any fingers. We just got to go back to the drawing board, get better, work hard as a team, and hopefully we'll be okay.
Do you still feel the resiliency inside this locker room to bounce back?
Oh, yeah. It never goes. We want to finish this game out the right way. We didn't want to give up any leaky yardage as a defense. We wanted the offense. They wanted to go down and score like they did. So hopefully we can build off of those couple of things right there and keep moving forward and getting better.
Is this a good week for the bye week? Now you can look at yourselves, maybe think about things and get better, or do you not want to sit here coming off these two bad performances?
I won't say a good week. You know, you like to go off, you know, with a win, anything that you're going to. But we just use it for a learning tool. Hopefully we can get better from it, let it stink. Going into the bye week, got a little longer time to think about it, to sit in on a lot of people, and hopefully we get better when we come back.
Corey, thanks a lot. Over to Bob Pop at the locker of Kevin Booth.
Move the ball through the air.
It's frustrating because we've done so well offensively for a while now. So I'm confident that this group, this offense, will get things turned around and come back ready to battle in a couple weeks.
Is it a good thing for this team or a bad thing for the
team? I think you make it a good thing. You know, I think a lot of us would love to play again next week to get this taste out of our mouth, but it is what it is. That's the schedule. And, we'll regroup and bounce back. All right.
Sorry, I know you're probably asked. What happened on some of the Eli's interceptions? He was under some heavy pressure. What happened on those plays?
Yeah, you said it. He was under some pressure. So, that's a good group that we played. But, we have to do better as an offense. You know, whatever it is, we have to do better, and we will.
Do you guys have any answers for kind of the direction things have been going or what needs to be done to get you back on track?
Well, I'm confident that we will correct it. Obviously, we didn't do our best today, but, we still have everything in front of us, and I'm confident that we'll learn from this. That's the only thing we can do is learn from it, and we'll bounce back.
Let's go over to the locker of Chris Canty. He's with John Schmelk.
Well, thanks, Bob. Chris, just these last 2.5 games, the team just flat hasn't played well. Can you put your finger on it? Is it pure execution? Is it preparation? Is it fire, energy, effort? Where's the issue here?
I don't think you can just point to one of those things. I think it's a combination of all of them.
Obviously, this is definitely a disappointing effort. Coming in here today, we had everything to play for. We did not play as well as we would have liked to last week, and so obviously we had that factor to motivate us. But we didn't bring the effort that we needed to. We didn't execute the way we needed to, and you know, we allowed them to make big plays. We turned the football over. We didn't have solid special, we didn't play well on special teams. I mean, all three phases just didn't play well.
What can you do now with this week off, coming the bye week, to look at yourselves and try to improve and get better and get through whatever you've been going through the last couple games?
Well, I think it starts there. We've got to take an honest look at ourselves. We've got to be honest with ourselves and our teammates. We've got to be accountable. We've got to be responsible, and we've got to go back to work. We've got to find a way. Nobody's going to wait on us. Nobody, this is November. This is when, it starts to get a little tougher to, coming down this stretch. So, you understand that, and you've got to conduct yourselves accordingly. I think that we've got to look at some things, and we've got to figure out what's going on.
Finally, Chris, without getting into details, obviously, what was the tenor and the message that Coach had for you guys at halftime of this game and then after the game was over in the locker room?
Well, at halftime, we weren't out of it. Did the first half go the way we wanted it to? No, but we still had opportunity to get back into this football game. And I just think that, when you looked at that second half, we had some opportunities there, and we just didn't take advantage of them. It's disappointing that we didn't. We've got to put some stops together, from a defensive perspective. And, we just didn't do that. We didn't do enough of it, hats off to the Bengals. They made some plays. They made some big plays early in the football game. They got confidence. And, they became tough to beat.
Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Giants defensive tackle Chris Canty. I'm going to jump in.
All right, so you heard from a variety of different players following the loss to the Cincinnati Bengals, 31-12. Also heard head coach Tom Coughlin. I think Chris Canty pretty much summed things up best. All three facets of this football team did not play well. I mean, there's really nothing else to be said after this contest. And from top to bottom, you look at the numbers. Manning went another game without a touchdown pass, threw two interceptions, also fumbled the ball. Ahmad Bradshaw, right at the beginning of the third quarter, had a key fumble when it looked as if they had put together their best offensive drive. They did not protect the quarterback very well either. Four sacks for the Bengals. On defense, and Canty just alluded to this too, Bengals got early scores, and that gave them a lot of momentum, a lot of confidence, and they rode that throughout the course of this game. They were the tougher team today. Defense missed tackles. Secondary and the front seven was not on the same page. And then special teams, Adam Pac-Man Jones with that huge return, 68 yards, and the Bengals wound up scoring off of that big play because it set up Andy Dalton and company at the Giants 11. And they were not out of it at the half. 17-6, an 11-point game, knowing you get the ball back in the third quarter. That's why I say the Ahmad Bradshaw fumble wasn't the only thing that went wrong today. And it wasn't just on one player, but given the timing of that fumble, that was a huge, huge turnaround in this contest. You're talking about a 17-6 game. You have the football, you're marching down the field, and you could potentially cut the deficit even further down and really be within striking distance. And they let that one slip away, because they had just forced the Bengals to punt. They got all the way down to the Cincinnati 27. And Manning had thrown a shovel pass to Bradshaw. He ran for 11 yards. He got to the 16. And Adam Pac-Man Jones, you hear his name again, was able to punch the ball out from Bradshaw. And he had it high and tight, which is what Tom Coughlin says and preaches to all his running backs. It was just one of those days. And Manning, with three turnovers, did not help the cause as well. He had to run for his life a lot because of the offensive line. And the offensive line is probably one of the most troubling aspects to take away, because that's been such a quick turn for the O-line. An O-line that had protected Manning so well, had put together at least a few games where there was positives on the ground, and to all of a sudden just take like 10 steps back, not just with respect to the running game, but in the protection schemes, that's an issue. I think Chris Snee's injury is a big factor why. Perhaps now that he has 2 weeks back, maybe come the Green Bay game, they will return to what they were able to do in terms of the level of production the first few weeks. But it is kind of interesting how all of this has timed out with Deal coming back and Locklear being taken out of the equation. You wonder if perhaps that has messed with the chemistry somewhat. And over the next 2 weeks, maybe they'll have more of an opportunity to get this line intact, given that Deal will be taking most of the reps, and you hope Snead gets back to full force. And the other positive to take away is that they do expect to get Jaquan Williams back, Kenny Phillips back, and potentially Keith Rivers after this two-week hiatus. I think that group should certainly help this defense. Maybe they'll get to utilize that three-safety alignment, which can't hurt in the long run. They get back to full health. They go back to the drawing board. Perhaps Giants fans will see a different team in Week 12 against Green Bay, at least from an intensity standpoint. That's probably the most disappointing factor in a game like this. Forget that there's a trend in terms of the way they've been playing, which has not been good across the board. But just win your man-to-man battles. Have some pride. And that was completely missing from the start of the first quarter on. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. We're going to open up the phone lines here. You can also chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow. Let's go to Steve in Connecticut. Steve, what's happening? Steve, you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Lance. I dozed off for a minute, man. Where do we start? The Giants, I was listening to the interviews and stuff, and, they're giving all the right answers, the answers you want to hear, but is this really going to change?
Listen, they got to speak to the reporters, and you're right. You know, they have to say what at least will give them a decent enough soundbite. And I think it's not that the players are trying to, lead the media astray. They're searching for answers themselves at this point. I don't think anybody on this team right now can understand why things have drastically turned all across the board. It's not as if there's just one facet of this team. It's everything. It's defense, offense, and special teams. You could take each layer and point to something that has gone wrong over the last couple of games. That's the most troublesome factor about this team. It has hit them so hard, and it has hit them so quick that I think everybody right now is looking at each other and saying, what happened to this football team?
I think the most thing that killed us over the course of the past couple games is special teams and field position. I mean, all this stuff played a part, too, but I think those are the key things.
Well, I think that certainly was a key contribution in terms of their struggles. Special teams, the Steelers and the Bengals did have a lot of drives that started in favorable field position. But you know what? You look back at this Bengals game, outside of that Adam Pac-Man Jones return, Cincinnati had a lot of drives where they started at their own 20 or their own 30. So it wasn't as if they got one gift after another. It was just that Adam Jones return came so early in the game after the Bengals already scored a touchdown, and it put the defense in a very precarious situation where they knew they had to hold them to a field goal. The last thing the Giants wanted to be in a position was down two touchdowns, not even midway through the first quarter. And that did happen. And that even put additional pressure on the offense because the offense wasn't able to gain any rhythm. So it was basically just everything spiraling and unraveling at the wrong time. And that's what I think was the biggest issue in terms of the timing of the special teams breakdown. And also the offense just not gaining any rhythm and keeping the defense off the field. Time of possession, actually, I just looked at the numbers, it balanced out in the long run. It was about 30-29, but that was because the Bengals weren't really milking the clock so much at the end, so the Giants were able to play catch-up, and they had put together some decent drives, but they were ended with turnovers. So you can't really look at the numbers that closely. The defense, though, at the end of the day, was on the field a lot more than they wanted to be. And it was on the field a lot more than they wanted to be against the Steelers, and a lot more than they wanted to be against the Cowboys. You want to balance things out, where your offense is on the field even more than your defense. But if they can't convert on third down, they were 5 of 14 today, and they can't get this running game going, how are they supposed to put together sustainable drives? That's the million-dollar question right now for this Giants offense. You can't convert third downs. You can't get first downs. So how do they get this offense back on track? I think everybody's going to be asking the same question.
Yeah, what about getting some points on the board other than field goals? How about some touchdowns? I mean, Andre Brown got that touchdown, granted, all right, but I'm not even counting that. I think that was okay, we'll give him something kind of score. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that was we're marching down the field and we're going to punch this in. What you think about all this, man? How's it looking for us against we got Green Bay after the bye, right?
That's right. Packers are up next in Week 12. Yeah, it's gonna be a real rough stretch. I appreciate the phone call, Steve. Want to get to a bunch of others here on the postgame show. Listen, the schedule, and I've been saying this for weeks, it is very tough after the bye. You've got Green Bay at home, and the Packers have certainly turned things around after they struggled early on and had that heartbreaking loss to the Seahawks. Then they visit Washington on Monday Night Football. They've got the Saints at MetLife Stadium. They go to Atlanta and Baltimore in back-to-back weeks, and they finish back home against the Eagles. Now, who knows what the Eagles are going to look like at that point. This game against the Cowboys, which is taking place right now, and Philly's up 7-0, will determine at least who will be the biggest competition, I think, for the Giants moving forward. But regardless, it's a divisional battle, so you know whoever has an opportunity to spoil the party is going to come and bring their A game. But overall, the Giants are going to be playing teams that are in the playoff hunt. That's what matters. The Falcons are in the playoff hunt. They did lose their first game of the season today to the Saints. So the Saints now have all of a sudden regrouped. They're going to be in the hunt. The Packers certainly are. And don't forget the Redskins, even though, yes, they are 3-6, they're building towards next season, and maybe they could put together a run and have an outside shot at a wild card. Who knows? Plus, they're a divisional game, and you can't throw divisional games out the window. And the Ravens are setting the tone in the AFC. A huge win today against Oakland where they beat up the Raiders. All of those teams, they're going to be no gimmies. It's going to be a very tough challenge. And if this offense continues at this level, it is going to be very hard if they have to get into a shootout with a team like the Saints or a team like the Packers and the Falcons. All three of those teams know how to put points on the board. And what Steve just talked about, you can't expect to keep marching down inside the 20s and settle for Lawrence Tynes field goals. And I threw out the question earlier about what has been at least one positive for this team the last couple of weeks, and one response was pretty much Lawrence Tynes and Steve Weatherford. And they are part of the special teams unit. We cluster them in. And the field goal unit has been stellar throughout the course of this season. It's been the punt coverage and the kickoff coverage that's been a disappointment. And David Wilson has not been able to get a big enough hole to at least give the Giants offense favorable field position. That has hurt as well. 201-939-4513. We go to Daquan in New Jersey. Daquan, what's happening?
I just think it's a lack of execution going on the field. I mean, lack of energy. You know, we've been struggling on offense for three games now. Started with the Cowboys. You know, what's going on with us? It just makes no sense how no energy we have on the field. I mean, usually on day games, you know, we play well. I haven't did that today. I really don't understand what's wrong with our team.
Well, Daquan, a lot of people are asking the same question. It's really mind-boggling as to why the Giants have struggled throughout the last couple of weeks. And fortunately for them, if there's any positive light to shed here, is that they have the bye week. So they have 2 weeks to rest all of their players who are banged up and really experiment with what they want to do moving forward. Now, this is an offense that won two Super Bowls. Kevin Gilbride is not new to the party. He's been the offensive coordinator for years since Coughlin took over. So, you know, to all of a sudden say that they need to change the play calling, they need to change the personnel, that's not going to happen. You're right. I think part of it is the energy. Part of it is also the execution. And another thing is Eli Manning's decision-making. He did see a lot of pressure today, and he had to get rid of the football. But there was one interception where, you know, he was being taken down and he just flipped the ball up. Probably the wise thing would have been take the sack and just and just take the loss of yardage. And then there was another one where he really just let the ball sail, and it was an easy pick for Nate Clements. You got to be smart, especially when the game is still within striking distance. That definitely falls on Eli.
And I don't think it's a good start to play Green Bay to get back on track, because the way Green Bay's been playing, I mean, you know, it's going to be hard to stop them. If we can't stop the Bengals, if we can't stop, I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from the Bengals. I mean, they do have a great offense. A.J. Green's a great receiver, but we're going to play Green Bay with a lot more weapons. You know, it's just, it's all coming up together to be like a slump. I hope we can avoid it.
All right, appreciate the phone call, Daquan. Thanks so much. And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. They were 6-2 last year, and they had entered 6-2 when they all of a sudden have lost these next two games, and that was when they went on a four-game skid last year, and they fell to 6 and right around 500, basically, last season when they went on that four-game skid. So, you know, they want to avoid having that trend pop up on them again this season, and the schedule does not make it any easier for them. And the Packers are also getting healthy, because you would assume that they are going to anticipate the return of Greg Jennings, who had to have surgery within his groin area. That had been a troublesome spot. Jordy Nelson had been shaken up. Perhaps 2 weeks from now, the Packers may be back to full force, and Aaron Rodgers is certainly playing at the top of his game. And Green Bay's defense gives up yardage, but they're opportunistic. They have players that can get to the quarterback, and their secondary can certainly turn the corner on an offense. So they are going to really have a true test ahead of them after the bye. And people are saying, just as Daquan mentioned, if they're struggling to contain a Bengals offense, which has a lot of firepower, regardless of maybe perhaps the lack of names, what are they going to do when they go up against Green Bay, which has about two or three receivers deep and then some? It's a troubling trend to keep close tabs on, and it doesn't get any easier past the Packers, but the Giants right now need to worry about themselves. They can't worry about their opponents, and you certainly can't worry about who you're playing in Week 15 and Week 16. You win the Super Bowl, you're going to play a tough schedule. That's just the nature of the NFL. You go up against teams that finished in your vicinity. So now they're facing that as a result of being successful last season. But right now, they're not worried about what happened last season. They need to be concerned about ending this two-game skid and gaining some continuity, getting back to the level of intensity that they prided themselves on earlier in the season, which has been non-existent the last few weeks, and it's happened so drastically and so quickly that even the coaches and players are scratching their heads right now. We go to Jay in D.C. Jay, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, Lance? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Jay.
First, I'd like to say all Giant fans to calm down. If you all know, I've been a Giant fan for over 12 years now. Every year we give up a game like this to a team under 500 when they come in and just beat us at all phases of the game. Second, I'd like to say the offense sucked today. I don't know what's going on with the Giants. It's been like this for 3 weeks straight. I'm thinking about to start a protest to bench David Deal because he got beat all game today, which I thought was just crazy. I think it's time to just bench him. And I have to talk about our defense. A lot of folks keep complaining about the defense, but people have to understand. I played football. I never played the pros, but I played all my life. And I think people have to understand that when you're playing defense, if the offense is going 3-and-out after you don't stop someone else's offense who went 60 yards and held them to maybe a field goal, we're tired. If your offense keep going 3-and-out, I mean, what you expect from the defense? We get tired. That's what happens. Defense gets tired. If the offense is not producing them any type of products, any type of production, and the defense had to keep running back on the field, and the team goes 60 yards, even though we're getting stopped or holding the field goals, we're tired. And I'd like to know what you think about that, Lance.
No, and you're right. And, Jay, appreciate the phone call. I think that come the late quarters, you're seeing the wear and tear of this Giants defense take its toll. Because the time of possession last week was so in favor of the Steelers, an 11-minute advantage. Today, it balanced out at the end because since he didn't have the football so much in the fourth quarter, the Giants did. So you can't really look at the numbers that closely from this contest. But early on, the Giants' defense was constantly on the field because the Giants' offense was out of sync. It was 1 3-and-out after another, or it was a turnover that halted a drive, and all of a sudden the defense has to clean up the offense's mess. So that's a big factor. But on the flip side, the Giants' defense, not to make excuses for them, is also having its own fair share of issues and breakdowns. Missed tackles has nothing to do with being tired. When players are in position to make a play and you just can't wrap up a guy, yeah, maybe, you know, not having strong enough legs at that point in a game could be a contributing factor. But overall, you would expect these players who are high-paid athletes to be in condition that they can bring down a guy so that he can have 2 or 3 yards and not gain 10. That's been an issue. And miscommunications on the defense. Once again, I point to the timetable of the season. It's one thing if you say, in week one, when they lost to the Cowboys, it was a wake-up call, we have issues to work out, players are not on the same page. Fine. Maybe some fans are not going to buy that, but it's understandable. you work out the kinks. When you say that in week 10, are you really buying that? How is it that you have not worked out the communication issues in the span of the first 9 weeks? And if this continues in week 12 and week 13, then I think the valid question is, well, what happened over the last 2 weeks when you had a bye? So they can't keep pointing to, we're having breakdowns, we're having missed assignments. That just has to be corrected. And that's fundamental football. It's the same thing with the offensive line. If your defensive lineman beat you and it's strictly one-on-one matchups, if you're getting beat, that means that you're lacking energy and you're lacking execution. I don't know necessarily if that's solely based on being tired. And let's be honest, the offensive line is not out there nearly as long as the defensive line is out there. And the offensive line has struggled just as much as the defensive line has struggled. Offensive line gave up 4 sacks today, and the defensive line didn't get any sacks. And there were times where they dialed up the blitz, but it didn't do any good. There was one play where Kiwanuka, I know, they brought in on the left side, and the Bengals threw a chop block at him. So all of a sudden, now you're down one man down the length of the field. What good does that do for you? You got to get creative in terms of the blitzes so that maybe you could catch the Bengals offensive lineman off guard. But if you run right into the running back, who you clearly have a size advantage on, what is the point of the blitz at that point? Run over the guy or anticipate the chop block and go around him or send a secondary player. Maybe give the offense different looks. It seemed as if the Bengals had the Giants red like the back of their hands. Nothing caught Cincy off guard today. And Andy Dalton was extremely comfortable in the pocket. That really helped him gain a lot of rhythm with his receivers. And that's a big reason why he had 4 touchdowns. And one other quick point before we get back to the calls, because I know Jay brought this up. Each year, the Giants have one of these games where they fall to a 500 team. That's fine. It happens to every team. But the difference I will point to this season compared to last season, and that's why I brought up earlier on the show the 4-game skid that hit the Giants last season when they were 6-2. Even during that 4-game skid, you did not see this type of widespread issues. They lost to the Niners 27-20. They were a batted pass down at the line of scrimmage away from forcing overtime in that game. The offense didn't struggle. The Philadelphia game, that was a bad game at home. When Vince Young was under center, okay. So that you could say all three facets of the football team didn't play too well. Though they did pick off Vince Young a couple of times. Saints game, they put up points, but Drew Brees and company just ripped apart the defense. And then that Packer game, remember, the Giants nearly handled Green Bay, its first loss of the season. So, yes, there were some inconsistencies, but even when they lost, there were games where, yes, the defense didn't play well, but the offense at least had some semblance. The offense didn't play well, the defense showed up. This is all three facets. Just gone. We go to Robert in California. Robert, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, Lance?
Doing well, Robert. What you got?
Well, you know, you hit the nail right on the head earlier when you were talking about David Deal being reinserted into the lineup and all of a sudden the Giants offense struggling. I feel that by doing that, Coughlin has indirectly created a culture of complacency on that team where a guy feels that no matter how well he plays, he can never rise above second string or he can be yanked at any time. It's really frustrating and it, you know, could contribute to a lack of energy on the team. If you got guys on the bench who played very well, and we yanked, and the guy who they got replaced for isn't even playing well, yet they're not being reinserted into the lineup. I mean, what does that do to a team's, you know, psyche, to a team's overall energy and effort on the field?
And that's
honestly.
And that's a fair point, Robert, and it's funny because I posed this question on Twitter last week, whether or not it's an outdated philosophy across the NFL as to whether a player should lose his starting job due to injury. And that fit the profile of David Deal, where Sean Locklear was playing so well and so effectively, as you just alluded to. All of a sudden, Deal, they slowly work back in as that swing tackle. They feel that they're confident enough that he can take on in every down load. And last week, as a result, the chemistry wasn't there, and the offensive line took a step back, and it continued this week. And then you had Snee, who got the start despite he wasn't fully healthy. They went that route as opposed to letting perhaps a bench player who's fully healthy come in there and maybe give the Giants better protection schemes. Maybe they need to address that. I think another example that would be fitting is Ahmad Bradshaw. He has now fumbled more times than David Wilson this season, but Bradshaw is clearly the number one back at this point. Maybe they need to reassess the philosophy. I agree that it could be the point of the season where they need to abandon, hey, we got to go with the veterans, we need to go with the guys that have been there, done that, and perhaps give a young player an opportunity who has worked hard during practice.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it needs to be, because, you know, you take a guy like Wilson, who's a rookie, first-round draft pick, he fumbles in his first game ever, first carry. And, I mean, you know, he's got obviously a bad case of the jitters, and all of a sudden he's on the bench for the rest of the season, barely getting one carry a game. And then you get a guy like Bradshaw, who, yeah, he's been, you know, he's been the horse for the Giants. You know, he's carried the load when they needed him to. But, you know, there comes a time, you know, towards the back end of your career where you can't do the same things you did at the front end. And, you know, you got to have guys with fresh legs who can pick up that slack. When Brown was rushing for 100 yards a game, I mean, his average yards per carry is still higher than Bradshaw, I mean, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it's relatively close, though. Brown hasn't been too effective in terms of yardage per carry, but you're right, he hasn't gotten nearly as many carries to build rhythm, so I do buy that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and, you know, our defense, something's going on with Corey Webster. I mean, he's got to still be suffering some effects from that hamstring injury. He just doesn't look like the same guy that we've had in years prior to this season. I mean, you know, he looks like he's getting beaten off a lot. And it seems almost that teams are actually picking on him. You know, and you don't want to say that because he's a veteran. But, I mean, you know, the tape doesn't lie.
Okay, appreciate the phone call, Robert. Thanks so much. And you're right, Corey Webster has taken a step back, too, in terms of perhaps the injury still lingering. I mean, he's gotten through practice the last couple of weeks, so I don't know if they're still at the point where they can say that is a contributing factor. But that early touchdown when A.J. Green was left completely wide open down the right sideline, I mean, that to me is inexcusable. I don't understand how things like that happen. And then when you have a defense that's just looking at each other and saying, why weren't you there? Why wasn't I there? That's a troubling aspect and a bad trend to be showcasing this far into the season. But at the end of the day, you have to look at the depth chart here. Who are you going to put in there over Corey Webster? That's a question I pose. And feel free to chime in on Twitter as well. Hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow. Last name, M-E-D-O-W. You have some extra depth at safety with potentially Kenny Phillips coming back after the bye. But as Giants fans, do you feel you have that at the corner slot? Remember, Jaron Hosley struggled too a little bit, and he's a rookie, so that's understandable. It's the learning curve. Prince Amukamara opposite Corey Webster, I think that's the strongest duo that the Giants are going to throw out there. Michael Coe, remember, is now on IR. He's no longer an option. And they're not putting Justin Tryon out there over Corey Webster. Webster's their best corner. Whether it be maybe just on paper at times, he gives them the best chance to win. So I don't know if the smart thing to do is to shuffle personnel around. I think the positive for the defense is that they're going to get more personnel back that have been regular contributors, and that should at least help both the front seven, and that should help the secondary overall, specifically in the middle of the field. Because tight ends have hurt the Giants the last few weeks. Gresham didn't have monster numbers today, but he got a touchdown. And the reason is they're running those routes where he's matched up on either a slot corner or a linebacker that doesn't have nearly as much speed as Jaquan Williams, and these tight ends are having field days. We go to Jack in Virginia. Jack, what's happening?
Lance, like usual, you always hit on all the points. Why am I calling?
Thanks, Jack.
Listen, Lance, honestly, I've called a couple of times now. Look, the difference between – we know we'll hear all the analysts talk about, oh, here go the Giants again with their collapse. As you know, being a person who's immersed in that organization, and as us Giants fans know, last year I didn't panic because last year – I'm sorry, but injuries could be explained a lot of that away. They were decimated by injuries, and you saw what the team was capable of when they started getting people back. This is a whole kettle of fish, different kettle of fish now, because they've not been as deep in years past as they have been now. This time, I blame coaching. I mean, I really do. Okay, again, look, you want to start off the game, fine. The defense, yes, obviously blown assignment. Cincinnati's up 7-0. But I've called you the last 3 weeks, and I sound like a broken record, and I'm really getting tired of nobody calling Coughlin or Gilbride on this. Why is there this love of Ahmad Bradshaw? I mean, really, it is starting to get to the point where I'm thinking that he has something on them, because it's just I mean, you see the first series in the second half. They start out with a run, and Bradshaw's on the field, and he gets nothing. And I'm like, you guys are down by 11 points, and there needs to be a sense of urgency. I asked you about this last week. Wilson, a first-round pick, so he gets one carry this game? One carry for, like, 2 yards, and that's all we decide that we're going to give him? I mean, what is the deal here? Andre Brown, he's doing as well as he can with that bum shoulder that you talked about. And we also discussed about the whole thing with David Deal. Again, this came to the forefront. People will say, well, David Deal is a better tackle than Sean Locklear. He may have been. Right now, he's not. Sean Locklear needs to be back in there. To me, This is stemming from, again, this defense is tired. Again, the offense cannot sustain drives. When you're going for it on 4th and 6 from the 50 in the first half, you know that your offense has problems. When you get the ball back as a result of a special teams play, the special teams hurt the Giants, but they also help the Giants. You know, Will Hill recovers a ball. There's a field goal out of that. And Bradshaw's in there. And as you correctly stated, again, that's like 4 fumbles now, if you want to count the count for Bradshaw, and 1 for Wilson. And I like I said, the man has a heart of a lion. God knows he's been fantastic. But right now, on my depth chart, he'd be third. He'd be in for passing protections on 3rd downs where the defense knew that the Giants were passing. He wouldn't be in on runs. If you want to talk about how David Wilson's not a good pass protector, well, then just give him the ball, because then you're not worried about pass protection if he's being given the ball on runs. This is getting annoying, because these are winnable games. These are games, the Pittsburgh game and this last game, the Giants could have, I don't want to say sewn it up, but could have gotten to the point where the NFC East might have been within reach shortly after the bye. And now we're looking at them coming back to the pack, and it's not because of injuries. It's not too much because of injuries. It's because of the ineptitude on offense. And yes, they are all out of sync. I mean, receivers are dropping passes. They need this bye. They look tired. But again, I don't know what it is about Bradshaw. I'm just getting tired of seeing him in there and getting carry after carry and occasionally getting some yards, but for the most part, not really doing much of anything.
All right, appreciate the phone call, Jack, and completely understand your level of frustration. I know that you have been calling, and plenty of other fans, for David Wilson to finally get the green light and get more involvement. Perhaps now that they have 2 weeks, maybe this is his opportunity. I don't know if I'm necessarily sold on that. I know I keep bringing up the pass protection scheme. And you're right. If you run David Wilson on 1st and 2nd down, you don't really have to worry about pass protection so much. It's more of a 3rd down issue. So perhaps they can look to get him more involved on the earlier downs and then let Bradshaw and Brown do the heavy lifting on the 3rd and maybe 2nd and long situations where Manning is going to back up and he's going to need that extra layer of protection. The one thing that I think hurts David Wilson, though, is the offensive line is playing so poorly right now, whether it be 1st down, 2nd down, 3rd down, or 4th down, that they need that running back in there just to serve as that extra layer of defense. And right now, maybe the philosophy is, we can't afford to put a rookie running back in, and we'll sacrifice perhaps his flashy play just so that Manning has an opportunity to look 2 or 3 seconds down the field, because that was a huge issue today. I'm not sure if they're all of a sudden going to say in week 12, now we have the motivation to give David Wilson the football, because I think the motivation has been there for a couple of weeks, not to make him the sole running back, but to at least slowly expand his role. So if they didn't give him the green light now, what makes you think they're all of a sudden going to remanipulate the system overnight, whether it be a day or 2 weeks? I'm not sold on that happening. I think I'm more sold on perhaps Andre Brown carving out even more and more of a role moving forward. But you're right. I think they've got 3 running backs, and teams that use all 3 of their running backs tend to have the most success. And Giants fans are going to turn to when they had Earth, Wind, and Fire. and they seemed to have success on the ground because defenses were kept on their toes. All three of them brought something different to the football field. And Bradshaw should be respected, and a lot of fans have called up and alluded to this. He's a tough guy. He's dealing once again with a chronic foot issue, but he's finding a way to get out there. And I know that he may not be the most consistent option. Now, Brown has not been too consistent either. I know his numbers look pretty good, but it was in garbage time. Let's face this. If you look back at his yardage per carry, it hasn't been that much different than Bradshaw's yardage per carry. And before that fumble, and I know Jack was touching on this, I thought Bradshaw actually was very aggressive on the ground. And I want to just go through that third quarter drive. They started the ball with the third quarter. They punted. Then the Bengals punted. So this is when all of a sudden the Giants, to me, were executing the best they had perhaps in three games. They started the drive on the Giants 47. Finally, special teams gave the offense a gift. You're right around midfield. They got a pass to Nix for 13 yards. And then they ran three consecutive plays with Bradshaw. And he was aggressive. He got a 9-yard run. You'll take that. Then got a 4-yard run on a second and one. So it gave them a fresh first down at the Cincinnati 27. And this is where he picked up a hard-earned 11 yards, but clearly ball protection escaped. And he lost the football. He was knocked out from Adam Pac-Man Jones. So it's not that Bradshaw is ineffective. I still think there's gas in the tank. They need to find a better way to balance the personnel they have. That's the key in terms of the timing for when they should be used. What other teams do, and you see this with the Saints, for example. Darren Sproles is hurt, but I'm bringing him up because he's used as that third down change of pace guy that they can use out in the flat when they need maybe 4 yards. They can run screens with him. Mark Ingram, their power back. Now they're utilizing also Chris Ivory had a big long touchdown. You've got the personnel. You're paying them. There's no point to leaving these guys on the bench. It's all about finding the balance, how they can utilize them to gel off one another and really wear down a defense. I don't think they have found the right equation. I don't think they should eliminate Bradshaw completely. I don't think Andre Brown should be given all of a sudden the starter's job. I just think they need to see a way that you give maybe David Wilson 6 carries, you give Andre Brown 10, and then in an ideal world, maybe you give Ahmad Bradshaw 15. But remember, that all is dependent on how the pace of the game plays out. This was not a game when they were down 31-6 where they were going to be running the football, unfortunately, because time was against them. But when it was 17-6 in the third quarter, that called for the run still. Eli Manning did not have to go for the home run at that point. You did not have to be one-dimensional, and they weren't one-dimensional at that point. I think that was a positive. At least they stuck to the ground game. But at the end of the day, when you're down 3 or 4 touchdowns, you're not running the football. You're not dictating the tempo. And you look at the breakdown of this game, and this has been a trend throughout the course of the game. And we are still going to be taking more of your phone calls. So for those of you on the line, stay patient. Just want to look at the numbers here. They threw the ball 46 times today. They ran the ball 20 times. That's more than a 2-to-1 ratio. Not surprising given the deficit. The Giants, though, have better success if you look back at their wins when it's either running the ball more than Eli Manning throwing the ball, or Manning, we're talking, has thrown the ball 5 more times than they've run. They've gotten away from that balance a bit. That's something that they need to get back to. We go to Patrick in Florida. Patrick, what's happening?
Oh, man, not much. Just another disappointing game 2 weeks in a row now. I mean, you look at this whole game, and there's really not a lot you can take from it other than just disappointment. I mean, you start off early with a mistake on defense that gave the Cincinnati Bengals an early lead. And then offensively can't get started, so you fall behind early, can't get back into it because you can't use your whole playbook, basically. I mean, like, you're starting to become one-dimensional because of how poorly you're playing. And like other callers have said, I mean, you have Locklear's playing really well, and you plug Deal back in, and he's not playing quite up to what he used to play. And you have Bradshaw, who's still got injuries that he can't seem to get over, and not using Brown enough or Wilson. I mean, like it's already been said, try using 3 running backs maybe. I feel like Deal, he's a great player, but, I mean, Locklear was just outplaying him before. And, I mean, it was a coach's call to bench Locklear all of a sudden. I don't know. I think it's the wrong call. And I don't know. It's just ridiculous. You look at this team, it's got so much talent. They could easily go 12-4 every year or so, and yet every year they just have that second half drop off that just they can't seem to get over, and it's getting really, really old. I mean, I'm not calling for Coughlin's job, not yet at least, but like every year, even last year, 9-7, the year before that 10-6, the year before that 8-8, it gets so old so fast, you know. There's got to be something changed this offseason. I mean, Gilbride isn't the worst coordinator in the world, but I don't know. If things keep going the way they are, at the end of the season, I wouldn't mind seeing Gilbride fired, honestly. He's not the worst, but I know there's a lot better out there.
All right, Pat.
That's all I got to say, really.
All right, Patrick, thanks for the phone call. I'm not so sure, though, that the Giants are going to easily forget that he helped the Giants win two Super Bowls. And that's what I at least need to throw out to Giants fans here. And I understand this is the point of the season where people maybe start saying they need new leadership, they need a new voice. You know, perhaps that also falls on the players in the locker room, too. It's not just all about coaching. But the Giants are not going to be quick to overlook the impressive resumes that this coaching staff has helped bring to the table over the last couple of seasons, given that the Giants have won two Super Bowls. So I don't think any drastic changes are going to happen if perhaps the Giants really struggle during the course of the final couple of games and maybe miss the playoffs or just squeak in. I really don't think that they're going to drastically change the coaching staff. Right now, I think it falls on the players. And we heard callers say this earlier. It's not about injuries anymore. So you can't point to that. The players who are the normal starters need to dig deeper. I don't know if they need to find extra motivation. I don't know if they got content because they had somewhat of a cushion in the NFC East and they felt we're playing two AFC opponents, we're okay. Even if we split these next two games, we'll still be sitting pretty. Well, a lot has happened over the last couple of weeks. The winner of this Cowboy-Philly game is going to be one game back in the loss column. This division is far from being wrapped up. It may have looked like that a couple of weeks ago. It's a whole different story right now. So nobody can be content with their position, especially with the Giants playing a lot of teams that are fighting for the same spots that they are after the bye. So they can't overlook anything, and they can't feel as if, well, we're definitely going to at least get a wild card. They're far from that. Right now, they got to get a win. That's priority number one. But the reason I bring up the depth chart and why you can't point to injuries, Mod Bradshaw goes down earlier in the season. Andre Brown comes in. Solid performance against the Panthers. Dominic Hixon gets hurt. Hakeem Nicks gets hurt. Ramsey's Barden fills in. Kenny Phillips goes down. Antrell Roll goes down. Stevie Brown fills in. Do you see the point I'm bringing up here? There's been multiple injuries on this team. And there's been multiple times where the coaches have said, it's your turn up. And that player has risen to the occasion. So how can you now point to injuries now? And I'm not saying that the loss of Jaquan Williams and the loss of Kenny Phillips is nothing, but the track record has been put in place that the system has worked effectively, that even if the Giants shuffle personnel around, they have still been able to maintain their level of consistency. Why has that level of consistency completely faded over the last 3 weeks? That, to me, is what is extremely troublesome. It's not the personnel. That means that maybe now the system needs to be tweaked a little. And that's why they need to go back to the drawing board or how they use the personnel. That's maybe what needs to be brought into the forefront. Those are the two things to dissect from the coach's perspective. And I know a lot of people have now all of a sudden called on the coaches that they need to send a message to the players, that they need to be more vocal, that they need to change things up. Well, they have now plenty of motivation over the next 2 weeks, and I'm sure they're going to be studying plenty of film and taking a step back and looking at their team and saying, where do we go from there? Before we get to more calls, I just want to throw out a quick injury note here. The Giants have not released anything official, so the team has not given an official statement, but supposedly Ahmad Bradshaw told some reporters in the locker room that he was going to get x-rays after the game, and it wasn't on the troublesome foot. It was something else, but he was not giving any details on that. And once again, this is nothing official from the team. I want to make that very clear. This is based on what Ahmad Bradshaw reportedly told some reporters in the locker room. Just a little side note in terms of the injury, because Bradshaw did not play the fourth quarter. Andre Brown got in there for multiple carries, and I was actually talking to my producer, and I was saying, hey, it's interesting why Bradshaw's not in, but then I said to myself, you know what, the game's out of hand. Maybe they're just saying his troublesome foot, better to rest him, considering they have the 2-week bye. Now perhaps there's another injury in play, something to keep close tabs on over the next couple of weeks. We go to Edward in White Plains. Edward, what's happening?
Hey, how are you, Lance? Rough game. I was watching after the Jacksonville game, and I saw Aaron Ross, and he was playing pretty good, and I thought to myself, of course, at the time I would have said, that's ridiculous, and someone would have said, maybe Corey Webster's 33, and he's on the way down. But it would have been interesting, you know, that it doesn't look like Corey Webster will be playing here next season. He keeps playing like he is. It reminds me of his first year. And maybe, you know, he has injuries and his hand is hurt, but and like you pointed out, he is probably the best combination. But, I mean, they really just went after him initially, and I guess the Giants probably rolled some coverage to help him out. And then after that, other people, you know, didn't have the support. So he looks rough. And the other thing is, I mean, you guys hit on this, is the defensive line and the offensive line just aren't effective at all. And, you know, you could look at a lot of specific things, but if you don't have good line play, you're not going to win football games. You know, and I mean, really, Dalton, there wasn't even a hand in his face. Like, the times they blitzed, the blitzes were stoned, and there was just no pressure in there whatsoever. So unless those two units pick up, it's going to be a tough season.
You're right. Andy Dalton was very comfortable, and he was a quarterback coming into it, throwing 11 interceptions. So I think when the Giants saw him on film, they said, given their track record in forcing turnovers, this could be a game where we maybe could capitalize on some mistakes that Dalton makes. But part of forcing him into making mistakes is by getting some hands in his face and getting some pressure, and that was non-existent. Nobody was getting to Andy Dalton. The Bengals' offensive line, I think you got to give them credit for really doing a nice job containing the Giants' defensive front, but maybe they could have gotten a little creative throughout the course of the game to change things up because it was too easy for Dalton, and that's a huge reason why he was able to throw for 4 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. I'll say one more thing if I can.
Sure. Yep.
You know, with the Bradshaw thing, I think it does make sense. You know, I think I've said this before, but, yeah, we don't run the ball enough. In this game, of course, we were out of reach so early we had to throw it more. And I don't think it matters who runs, because everybody's just about as effective as the next guy, according to the way I see the games. But what I did want to point out is, obviously, Bradshaw fumbled, and that was very bad timing for that play. But, you know, there were 6 guys tackling Bradshaw, and there was no one on the Giants around. So I feel like sometimes I watch these plays, and Giants players who are on the other side of the field, you know, if they were playing rough and tough football, they could go mug somebody, you know? But they just seem to be content that if the play is going the other way, that they'll stand and watch. That's what I see from them a lot when they get in these funks. You know, instead of getting angry and hitting somebody, they're kind of standing around.
And that's a great point, Edward, and appreciate the phone call. And I think that highlights one of the themes that we discussed a lot throughout the course of this post-game show, and some of the callers touched on this, the lack of intensity, the lack of energy, the lack of desire. Ahmad Bradshaw is being gang-tackled by 5 or 6 guys, balls on the ground. There's no reason why another offensive player can't try to dive for it and keep the possession alive, considering how critical that fumble was. That, to me, was a huge difference maker in this game. And there were a lot of other mistakes, but the reason I bring that up, it's still an 11-point game. The Giants are in Bengals territory. You get a field goal at worst. You're a touchdown and a 2-point conversion away from tying this game. Who knows what happens from that point on? Instead, the Bengals get the football back, and all the life is just sucked out of the Giants. You can't give up on plays like that. You've got to go after loose balls. It could be the difference between a win and a loss, or even salvaging a possession and even settling for a field goal. So that's a perfect example of how the energy level was not near where it needed to be. We go to Tony in California. Tony, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, Lance?
Doing well, Tony.
Been hearing and listening. Definitely listening in, and it seems to be the same old script, you know, just like last season, and then where we are right now, what it looks like is going to be, and it's playing out like it's sounding like a cancer in remission. You get to these points in these games, and where's the pride? Where's the motivation? You know, and I mean, it starts to have you pointing at the captain. I mean, look at where was Justin Tuck today? And I'm not talking about particularly the play. Maybe they matched up good on him. But my thing is, you're supposed to be the defensive captain of this team, just like Eli Manning. I mean, where is that, you know, inspire the team? do something, show some kind of spark that's going to let the team know that, hey, we can get out of this funk. Where's Eli getting into the huddle, looking at his other players in the eyes and saying, hey, you know what, we're going to make something on this drive. The Pro Bowl, you know, MVP-type quarterback looked like he was on the other side with Dalton. He was comfortable and everything today. And it just doesn't make sense, you know. Another thing is that, you know, we're really missing a power back this year. Our backs seem to be similar and all the same style of back to maybe follow up with, like, a Bradshaw, compliment him. But, I mean, going back to the Pittsburgh game, we're missing that power smash-mouth back. And, I mean, just as a fan that has been a Giant, avid Giant fan for years, it's like you look at that and it's like, it, where is that pride to say, hey, I'm a defending Super Bowl champion and I'm not going to lay down like this. And they just think that they got these opportunities and they're just going to come. It's not the coaching staff. It's not Tom Coughlin. It's definitely within those players. And if I had any say, it comes down to Jerry Reese. He needs to start looking at, you know, getting somebody that's going to be inspirational. I mean, you know, you got some players out there that don't come a dime a dozen, okay, like Ray Lewis, but we need some kind of motivation like that, whether it's offense or defense. What do you say?
All right, Tony, appreciate the phone call. And listen, I agree with your point, but here's the thing that I'm going to throw out as a counter. Last season, same personnel was on the football field. This was a 7-7 team. And the same question that Tony just posed, there's no vocal leadership in the locker room. Justin Tuck, who even said that he doesn't like to lead by being extremely vocal. And Eli Manning, who has never been an extremely vocal player. But they rallied last season with a similar personnel group. Most of these players helped them get to a Super Bowl last season, when things weren't looking too good. After a loss to the Redskins, and they were entering that game against the Jets, and it was a must-win to give them some wiggle room when they knew that the Cowboys were coming to town the last week. And they rallied around somehow. They made the big plays. They overcame the issues. Those personalities are still in the locker room. So if the signs are not there that they need to now step up their game, I don't know when the urgency is going to be there. They have the ability, I think, to motivate one another. The problem is the energy has not been there. Or perhaps they're not hitting the panic button entering this week. Maybe now the panic button needs to be tapped a bit after this loss. And perhaps they're going to have a lot of discussions over the next 2 weeks. That's why I said I think the timing of this bye could not have come at a better time. Last season, the bye came so early, they hit the skid. They didn't have a week to reflect. All they had was a week to hope that maybe OC Umanyora would come back and rescue them, and it worked out that way. This season, now they have 2 weeks, get everybody healthy, and really dissect the playbook and the personnel groupings and say, you know what, we got to move this guy here, we need to insert three running backs. The last point that Tony had mentioned was them lacking a power running back and really alluding to the fact that they never found a true presence to fill in for Brandon Jacobs. And listen, Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw were different style runners, so that was nice. Bradshaw took his chances off the edge, was good in terms of the screenplay. Jacobs was that power up the gut runner. And I think Bradshaw is trying to take on that style while still keeping his identity as an outside runner. You know, Andre Brown is more of an inside tackle guy, but a little bit similar to Bradshaw. David Wilson is not going to be your power back. I know a lot of people are calling for David Wilson. David Wilson is just going to give you a speed factor, and he's going to be maybe able to run off the edges and outrun players because of his God-given talents. Outside of that, you're not going to get a power running back out of nowhere, and Wilson's not the answer to that. They have succeeded in short yardage situations when they've gotten near the goal line with Andre Brown, so they're viewing him as that bigger running back. And I think they've been okay to a certain degree with respect to that. Perhaps what they're missing is when they're outside of the 20, and they're looking to gain rhythm around midfield, and you want to wear down a defense, I think they are lacking that Brandon Jacobs-style running back. And maybe the way to counter that is to get your fullback more involved. We haven't seen the fullback get many carries this season. Or even try to run maybe some creative plays with Bear Pascoe. And Pascoe was back out there after missing the Steelers game because he wasn't healthy. perhaps, as I mentioned, the next 2 weeks, getting players at least close to 100% will allow them to dig deeper into their playbook. You know, there are certain plays that you can continue to run as you plug players into the system if a guy gets hurt, such as a Ramsey's Barton taking over for Dominic Hixon. But there are other players that are just built a certain way that you can't do what you want when they get hurt, such as a fullback or maybe such as a tight end. Perhaps they can get back to that, assuming that the depth chart is in one piece when they return for that Packer game. We go to Steve in D.C. Steve, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Well, you know, I don't even know where to start. I'm just going to I'll try to be as brief as I possibly can. Well, first of all, it's a major disappointment all the way around. You know, my biggest disappointment will be every time I think about it, I can only come back to one thing. And, and of course, Coughlin has delivered 2 Super Bowls and 4 rings, but here's the problem. First of all, the players definitely look like they're not in good condition. I blame that on the coach, and there's no getting around it. I think that he's been a little bit too soft and a little bit too comfortable since he's been recently crowned the last couple of years. And over 35 years of being a Giants fan, I can't be more disappointed in what I've seen on the field today. Just no productivity all the way around. I think that the play calling by Gil Brown is less than suspect. Everybody can tell what we're going to do before we do it. We certainly have to get a mixture of running backs. I don't think we need new running backs, even though it would be nice to have a bigger one. You know, Bradshaw was supposed to be hurt. He didn't practice all week long. You don't practice, you shouldn't be playing. It would have been a perfect excuse to sit him for 2 weeks and rest him and run Andre Brown and use Wilson whenever we can. I'm not going to go on forever because it's such a disappointing loss. I really could, but I'll tell you, Prince was actually the surprise of the day, only one who showed any real tenacity out there getting after the ball. I mean, people turning their backs on the ball, not gathering to the ball, like some people said when Bradshaw was going down. It was, you know, it all comes back to coaching. I mean, I think Tom Coughlin is clearly too comfortable not putting a hard enough hammer down on these guys because we have all the talent in the world. And, quite frankly, like the most important thing I think should be noted, which I've been saying for weeks, is this. Clock management is not just on offense. It's on defense, too. Of course, the defensive players are tired because we're too many quick three and outs, too many home run balls. We need to rein Eli in. He's throwing on his back foot again. He's about to get our receivers hurt because he's throwing all these high balls. I mean, you know, it's just absolutely amazing that, you know, we continue, you know, we're throwing the Bennett behind the line. I mean, what is that? You know, it makes no sense at all. Yes, we should definitely be questioning Gil Brown because he runs the wrong play at the wrong time consistently. And, it's, you know, it's not a matter of a fan who doesn't know what to talk. I played D1 football, and I just tell you, I'd like to see personally, you know, Brown running the ball to start the game. And we definitely could get Wilson in there. And I think Bradshaw should be more of a finisher when the game slows down a little bit, since he really doesn't want to slow down and wait for tackles. So maybe we should wait for the defense to slow down a little bit. But our defense is definitely tired, and they should be, because there's too many three and outs. We're getting away from the run way too early, and we should have been resting Bradshaw. And what else is there to say? I mean, you know, like I said, we need to get in condition, and that really comes down with the discipline that Tom Coughlin has really not implemented since he's gotten comfortable. And quite frankly, I hope we turn this thing around. It's way too close to what it should be at this point, and I see Bill Cowher still waiting. So if we don't do what we should do, I hope we bring Bill Cowher in.
All right, appreciate the phone call, Steve. I think it's way too early to speculate about coaching situations, and I'm not going to address that subject because basically Tom Coughlin is still the head coach. I understand the frustrations building for some Giants fans, but I don't know if necessarily the organization's going to hit the panic button, even though they're still 6-4, and they are still in first place in the division, regardless of what happens with this Cowboys-Eagles game, which is still tied at 7 as they are late in the second quarter. And the winner will be a little bit closer to the Giants when it comes to the divisional standings. But the Giants right now, the focus needs to be on them. And the defense has been tired. I don't know necessarily if the conditioning aspect is on the coaches. I think the conditioning aspect maybe has to do more with players getting out there that haven't gone through a full week of practice. That I buy. You gain rhythm through practice. So if you're only practicing one day or you're doing limited reps on the side and then all of a sudden you're getting hit playing in play out, of course you're going to get worn down because you're not going through that mental and physical preparation during the days leading up to that. I buy that. Chris Snead didn't practice much this week. That contributed to his production this week. Mod Bradshaw's been going the one-day thing for weeks. Maybe now that he has 2 weeks to rest and recuperate, come after the bye, he'll be able to go more than one day. That could help the Giants in terms of getting their running game back on track and also help the offensive line. Same thing with defensive players who only practice a day or two and then are expected to perform at a high level on Sunday. The way you practice, it's the old cliche, should translate to how you perform in a game. We're not seeing that necessarily with respect to the Giants. That's why this bye is perfect timing. It's going to hurt Giants fans because you're going to remember this loss for the next 2 weeks. So are the players. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. Maybe that gives them additional motivation. It gives them now another reason to not be content and not be comfortable with their current situation. To know that even if you go on a 3-game winning streak, you got to strive for that 4-game winning streak. They now have lost 2 straight, and after the bye, they're going to be hosting the Green Bay Packers, a team that they beat in the postseason last year, played very close in the regular season. They have a lot of the same personnel, but this is a team that's starting to click, the Packers. They have been gaining some rhythm from top to bottom. And the Packers were on bye this week. They'll be back next week, but they're also going to be well-rested somewhat. And they have a couple of injuries that I think they're going to slowly get back to full form, which makes them a little bit different in terms of their look compared to what you're seeing maybe in the last few weeks. Right now, the Giants need to step back, evaluate the situation, evaluate how they use personnel, evaluate how their play calling is throughout the course of the game. And also, even I want to throw this out, and I'm surprised that nobody called up about this, because we did see a little bit of this throughout the course of the game. The offense using the no huddle. A lot of callers have been pushing for that. And the reporters were even pressing Kevin Gilbride about that this week. There was some glimpses of that today. Doesn't always work, and it's not necessarily always the right thing to do, given the personnel that you have on the football field. But I think the Giants over the last couple of seasons have shown when there's about 2 minutes left on the clock, if they're right before the end of the first half, there's that sense of urgency that clicks in, and they're a more productive offense than they are when it's just the regular flow of the game. So that is something that I think may be a positive that they want to implement a little bit more often. But it starts and ends with Eli Manning. Let's be honest. Giants fans have had a lot of confidence in Eli Manning. Because despite the deficit, despite the situation, you always feel, Giants fans, that you normally have an opportunity to win a game. Manning hasn't been Manning the last few weeks. And it has been as a result of the lack of consistency from the offensive line and the running backs. But they need to get him in a position to succeed. And part of that, I think, is his decision-making and him just being comfortable. And one of the callers touched on this. I think the exact quote was, the Pro Bowl, Super Bowl MVP quarterback looked more like Andy Dalton today than Eli Manning. And maybe that's harsh, because Manning has been extremely good. And I'm not going to sit here and saying the Giants are in trouble. It's just been a couple of rough games. But Eli Manning is the general of this offense. If he can't get the football to his receivers, if the offensive line doesn't give him enough time to throw the football, how is this offense supposed to take strides? They need to get him in a position to make the right decisions and have multiple options. That has not been necessarily apparent. And if the defenses are switching things up, and even Eli Manning was asked about this after the game, they are taking Victor Cruz out of the equation. They are putting a lot of defenses, in coverage now, because they know that the Giants have had so much success down the field. That means that they need to get that running game going. That's the way to counter that. If teams are dropping back their personnel in the secondary, that's when you should be able to open the door on the ground. If you can't open the door on the ground, then defenses are going to say, all right, well, if you can't run the football, we know you can at least be dangerous passing. We're going to stay back, and if you want to take your 2 to 3 yards, that's fine. We'll let you have it. The Giants' offense could get in this trend where they're so predictable. That's what you don't want to happen if you're the Giants right now. So that's why these next 2 weeks, they really need to evaluate and decipher how they want to go from here, because it's really going to be a perfect opportunity for self-reflection. That's why I think this bye is really key for them right now. All right, we'll be back in 2 weeks with our interactive game day webcast as the Giants will be hosting the Green Bay Packers. That game is prime time. It's an 8:20 kickoff on Sunday, November 25th, so we'll have our pregame start at 8 Eastern on that night. We'll be back with Big Blue Kickoff, our morning show. John Schmelk will join me tomorrow morning, 9:30 to 10:30. So for those of you who didn't have an opportunity to call in, we'll still be breaking down this game and talking about what the Giants need to do over the next 2 weeks. We'll also have our show Tuesday morning as well. John Schmelk will join me again. Wednesday, I believe, we'll have Paul Dottino and Anita Marks. And then I think Thursday and Friday, the Giants organization, at least the staff members, wants to at least enjoy any day they can have off. So I don't think we're going to have Big Blue Kickoff the latter part of the week, but stay tuned. We'll give you full details for that throughout the course of the next days, and then it'll be back to normal business the week following the bye. All right, so appreciate all the phone calls. Certainly, I understand the level of frustration from Giants fans. Hang in there. It's tough to head into a bye with two straight losses, but the good thing is the Giants do have 2 weeks to regroup as the Giants fall to the Cincinnati Bengals here in Week 10, 31-13. The Bengals improve to 4-5. The Giants are 6-4, and they will not know who they are looking down at right now in terms of who's the biggest threat in the NFC East standings until this Cowboys-Eagles game goes final. They're about to go to the half. Dallas is up 10-7. The Redskins are on bye. Special thanks to my producer, John Vasquez. As usual, appreciate all the callers. You help make this show what it is. Lance Meadows signing off here on Giants.com. We'll see you in 2 weeks as the Giants host the Green Bay Packers. Have a good one.